Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to James chapter 5. Appreciate that song. Truly, Jesus ought to be all to all of us and everything that we do. I tell you, the songs couldn't have been better this morning to go along with the message. While ago, she played the offertory, or played for the offering, I guess, as they were taking it, his eyes on the sparrow. And I'm grateful today that God's eye is on the sparrow. I'm grateful for the gift that God gave to me when he gave us his son to die on the cross for my salvation. Truly, that's the most remarkable thing that's ever happened to me in my life, was the day that I was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. I trusted him as my personal Savior. I'm saved today. I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to the day when he calls us home to be with him, and I'm going to live there forever and ever. However, there's other gifts that God gives us along the way, and many times we neglect the gifts that God gives us by not using them in any way. I believe one of the greatest gifts that God gave us was the gift of prayer. I believe the most wonderful, powerful gift that God gave us is the matter of prayer. And after 2,000 years of practice, prayer, I believe, is still one of the most misunderstood, misused, and misguided opportunities that we have been given. I'd venture to say today, and truly I'm not here to make a judgment because I do not know your heart and only God does. But we must understand today that God expects us to pray. And I believe today if we don't pray, we sin against God. The Bible said, "For him knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I think today, while how we would see the power of God, and I believe we'd see the power of God when the people of God learn to pray to God as they should in a way that would be pleasing to him. I want to preach to you today on the matter of prayer, and specifically as it relates to God who hears our prayer. Aren't you glad today that we don't have a dead God? He's not in the cemetery. That tomb is empty. He's arisen from the grave. He's ascended back into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I like this. He's making intercession for you and I. If you have your Bibles, I want you to follow along with me as I begin reading in chapter number 5 in verse number 13. And the Bible said, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Our Father, Lord, today we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning once again to open the Word of God. Lord, today I believe we're dealing with one of the most important subjects that we'll find in the Bible. Probably one of the most neglected subjects that we find in the Bible is oftentimes we go through life and sometimes we're so blessed that we fail to recognize the need to pray. But Lord, today I pray that you'd help us to be spoke to today, that we might leave here determined that we're going to pray like we've never prayed before. Lord, praying for ourselves, praying for one another, and praying for God's will to be done in our life. Lord, I pray now that you would guide and direct everything that's said and done. May it bring honor and glory to thee. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. In order to establish the message today, I don't know of any better way to establish it than to establish it based on the Word of God. I believe today that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable. I believe today that there's nothing that should not be preached from time to time. I believe God gave us the entire Word of God in order that we might understand it and use it. And so here I want to give you some verses on prayer. I want you to see just how much God says, and I'm sure I won't even scratch the surface, but we're commanded to pray. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." In Luke 18:1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." In Philippians 4, verse number 6, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." In Ephesians 6:18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." In 1 Peter 4 verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." I believe today that you should be, if you believe the Bible, be convinced that God intended for us to pray. But when we do pray, the good news is God's promised to answer our prayer. I want to give you some verses on that. In Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In John 16, 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. He said, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to be happy, folks. He wants us to enjoy life. We don't have to go through just because we're a Christian and act like our best friend just died. We can go through life rejoicing because God desires good things for us, but He desires that we ask. In Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite verses says, call unto me. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The key being, he says, call unto me. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, and it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Somebody said, well, why do I need to pray? God hears, God knows my heart. He knows what I'm thinking. Yes, but he's commanded us to pray. And God will, I believe, answer your prayer sometime before you even get through praying it. But yet, he desires that we learn to pray. James was a man that prayed. An early church father wrote the following about James. They said this about James, his knees grew hard like a camel's because of his constant worship of God, kneeling and asking forgiveness for the people. Just as a laborer's hand testifies of his occupation, and a runner's feet testifies of his running, James' callous knees testified of time that he spent on his knees before God, praying for God's will to be done. You said, well, preacher, why are you preaching this? I'll tell you why. Because I believe today that we've not seen or even scratched the surface of what God will do for those who ask. And when we do ask, that God will give us the things that we ask for. I believe today that we're still living in a generation that needs to be reached by God. And today we can preach and we can do all there is to do. But if we fail to pray, we've neglected the most important thing. But the good news is God hears our prayer. And the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to give you three simple, very statements this morning, and they are very simple in many ways. But in verse number 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Now, the first person or the first group of people today that we need to see to pray is those who have been afflicted. Those who are hurting should pray. James commands those who are afflicted to pray. Now, notice the word afflicted. Here's what it means. It means those enduring hardships and the sufferings of life. Now, that word encompasses a whole great deal of difficulties and burdens which come against us as we journey through this world. This necessarily not talking here about sickness. It can be anything in our life. But we live in a world today, in fact, a very imperfect world today, to where Satan is alive and well. The Bible said, in whom the God of the world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they believe the glorious gospel of Christ. No matter what we do or how hard we try, we have an adversary in the devil. The Bible says that he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you're in church this morning and God's here to speak to your heart. But the devil also, I'm sure, will show up if you're not careful and do everything he can to destroy what you hear. He talks about being the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says in Romans 8:22, the world is groaning under the curse of sin. We know that when this earth was created, it was a perfect world. The Garden of Eden was a perfect place. Yet the Bible said in Romans 5:12, wherefore is but one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I tell you, to live in this world is not always pleasant. In this world, there's going to be affliction, there's going to be difficulties, and there's going to be heartaches. You know what Job said, Job 14, verse 1? I don't have time to preach on Job this morning, but I could. But Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know what Jesus said in John 16, 33? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. I'm glad today that I serve a God in heaven. Now I'm asking you to pray to somebody that's already overcome the world. He has the power over the world. The word tribulation there means to suffer affliction or oppression, to feel distressed, to feel like you're in a strait and there's no way to turn and there's no way out. Getting to the point to where you wonder what you need to do. The answer to that question today would be to pray. It seems there seems to be no escape for the affliction of the world. If anybody tells you Christians don't have afflictions, then they're not telling you the truth. You better not listen to them, because I tell you, as long as you're in this world, there's going to be pain, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be heartache, and there's going to be sorrow. Somebody said, why would a God that loved us do that? I don't have time to explore that this morning, but I can tell you everything God does is for His perfect will and to draw us closer to Him. Afflictions will arise in every area of our life. It may be a physical affliction. It may be a body that is broken. It may be a body that is tortured by sickness or disease or maybe even death. And we understand this sort of affliction well. And believe me, the older we get, the more we understand it, because we see that these things come. Yet there's also emotional affliction, when the mind is overwhelmed by worries, burdens, cares, mental illness, and depression. I know today the Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. I wish I could stand here today and tell you, as a man of God and a man of faith, that I never worry about anything. But I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you that today, because there's times that my mind gets so crowded and it gets to the point to where I'm thinking about all the things and many things that have arisen and many problems that come my way. I'm distressed and I'm afflicted. What I need to do, I need to pray. Then there's spiritual affliction, when the soul becomes weak and faith in God begins to wane. Many understand this kind of affliction. It seems the heavens have turned to brass. It feels like God doesn't see you, that God doesn't know what's going on. It seems as if God's not listening, and it hurts your spirit because of that. Our entire being, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, we suffer in this world, being here in painful times. But thank God today we're not without hope. We have help, and our help is in the Lord. I'm grateful today that regardless of the nature of your affliction, we must not become discouraged. Oh, I tell you today, I realize that we're living in a very dangerous, unsettled world. And I tell you, there's things happening all around. And I'm not talking about just in our country, but I'm talking about in our homes. I'm talking about in our schools. I'm talking about on our jobs. There's things that's going on, but yet we cannot let that get us down, because our hope is not in what we have tomorrow. Our hope is what we have in the future with Jesus Christ as we trust Him. We must not give up. We must not give in to what we feel. We should do what James commands us to do, and he tells us simply to pray. I've said a lot to describe that, but he just simply said, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. God is an ever-present resource for afflicted believers. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're experiencing. And we must turn to God in prayer and lay our burdens at His feet and let Him help us to carry our load. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore, he said, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Friend, today, if it was a financial need you had, and somebody told you that if you come down to the bank tomorrow, that they would give you whatever that financial need is and they would satisfy that debt. I don't think anybody would have to be asked twice to go. I think we'd rush down there because when that debt would be paid, that burden would be lifted, and we wouldn't have to worry about that anymore. Friend, I tell you today, I can't offer to take care of your financial need, but I can tell you today that I serve a God in heaven that simply just as easy as going to the bank and getting what somebody gives you, God said to come to Him and receive the mercy that only He can give if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. Yes, Jesus cares. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares for me. I tell you again, if you're suffering affliction, don't try to carry it by yourself. Oh, the worst thing in the world. I've heard people say, preacher, I don't need anything. Listen, understand. I realize there's times people need to be alone. I understand there's times when you need to be by yourself and you don't need maybe other people around, but there ought to never be a time when you want to be away from God. And I tell you what you need to do if you have that affliction, if you're going through it and the load is so heavy that you can't bear it. He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn upward, call on the Lord in prayer, and He'll meet your every need. Is any among you today afflicted? Let him pray. Just let him pray. Just pray in all sincerity. Somebody said, I don't know what to pray. I mentioned a while ago in Romans 12, it speaks of our groanings. Sometimes we don't know what to pray or how to pray. But God knows if we show what we're trying to do, He will hear and answer our prayers. So those who are hurting should pray. Second of all, those who are happy should pray. Now go back to verse 13. I like this. I'm sure glad he included it. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Jesus commands the merry to sing praises. I can't remember the words to the song a while ago about as I was on the spare, but there's something in there about singing. I was singing along with it, and I can't recall exactly what it was. But I tell you today, if you got Jesus, you ought to be happy. If you got Jesus, you ought to be cheerful. You ought to be encouraged, and you ought to be thankful for what He's done. There are times in our life, thank goodness, when things seem to be going pretty good. Somebody said, well, not for me. Things have been pretty bad for a while. That's all right. Don't give up. The good days are coming, and God's going to bless you. Everything seems to be moving in our favor. Everything seems to be working for us. And it brings a true life of joy and happiness. We have a peace that we've not had. We're not down in mind, and we're not down depressed, and we're not down discouraged. We're happy in the Lord. Well, when you do that, when you find yourself in a happy place, you know what you need to do? James said, you need to sing psalms. Now, if you went to the book of Psalms, that is nothing more than a bunch of songs. And I've heard people take many of that and put it to Scripture. You say, well, I'm not good at putting Scripture to music. Well, it don't matter whether you read it or whether you try to sing it. You ought to go back and read the Psalms, because these songs are Psalms that came given to the people of God in the Old Testament. And He's telling us to reach back into the Word of God and sing to Him the great songs of Scripture. And when we do, we'll be filled with God's promise. We'll see God's grace and we'll experience God's glory. The redeemed church is to be a people who often find themselves praising the Lord in song. Boy, I tell you what, a while ago when I started to the platform at the beginning of the service, the choir was singing in the opening chorus, and I tell you, boy, they sounded good. I was coming up there, and it was good and loud, and it was coming through, and I tell you what, my heart just swelled with joy. As the choir sang the choir special today, as we sang the congregation, as I looked and I saw a people, a happy people, I hope, a happy people that's rejoicing in what God is doing and singing the songs of praise. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He said in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I tell you today, somebody said, why do we need to do that if we're happy? Because I'm telling you, here's the danger of the Christian life. When everything's going good and everybody's happy, You better watch out. You're going to forget how good our God is. Somebody said, why does God allow suffering? I believe today that God allows suffering where we'll know where to get our strength from and our help from. I'll be honest today, if we never had sickness, never had sorrow, never had tragedy in our life, we wouldn't need God. We'd have everything we needed. But yet God says, listen, don't forget what I've done for you, and I want you to remember me. So James combats our tendency to forget by commanding us to sing. When happy times comes, we're behind in praise, I believe. We ought to praise God, eventually run to God in prayer in our time of trouble. But we often fail to run to Him in the time of good times. I thank the Lord today for church, but church ought to be something that is consistent pattern in our lives every day that we live. Every day the doors are open, we ought to be faithful to the house of God. It's not just when things are going bad that we need to come to the house of God and pray to God and seek God. It ought to be every day that we live, happy or sad, joy or sorrow. We can come to the house of the Lord and praise Him for what He's done. So rather than holding back from praising the Lord, we should be quick to give Him thanksgiving and praise for all that He's done. Friend, I tell you something I can say honestly today. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We've been blessed, and we ought to go to God for guidance, for praise, and worship, and gratitude for what He's done for us. So those that are hurting should pray. Those who are happy should pray. And then lastly, those who need healing should pray. You don't hear a lot of preachers preach on these two verses. Sometimes we've looked at it, and some people are a little scared of it and say, well, I'm not sure exactly what that says. Well, I'm going to try to tell you today. I've tried to do a little bit of study and try to understand exactly what it's saying. But I want you to know that many people have come to the conclusion that they can trust God, that if they get sick, that God will, without any reservation or hesitation, will heal them of their sickness. I'm sorry to tell you today, but that's just not the case as far as healing you. I do believe He always heals, and I'll explain that in a minute. But I do believe that we need to understand that God does not always heal us when we come to Him. Now, when we come to this passage of Scripture, let me read it if I could. He said, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if he've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now hear me out, and let me explain the whole thing, and then we'll hopefully you'll understand the conclusion. But James is writing to a people that I believe the word sick in this verse refers to those to toil, to weary, to tire out, or to be weak. James is writing to the Jewish believers. Now, the Jewish believers, and I could give you scripture, James 1:1 said they had been forced from their homes. They are persecuted by the Gentiles in verse 2 of chapter 1. They're suffering persecution at the hands of fellow church members, unfortunately, according to James chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. The word sick refers to those who have become weak because of persecution. Now, listen what it's saying. He was preaching and teaching to them, and they had had all this persecution. They had been beaten. They had been humiliated. Their faith had been attacked. They had been wounded. And because of their trials, their faith had grown very weak. And they're at the point that they want to give up. Friend, today there's a lot of times people are that way. You can get so weak. Fortunately, I've not gone through what some of you have. We don't like to think about that cancer, but I believe any of you that sit here that's gone through it or going through it would have to say, preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. I believe you can get to that point. It's not that you don't trust God. It's not that you don't love God, but you just get weary, and sometimes you feel your faith is not what it needs to be. And yet the command to these persecuted believers, here's what he said to those believers. What you need to do is you need to call the elders of the church and let them pray over thee, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now the word anoint does not refer to ceremonial anointing. The word means to rub. The weak, wounded, persecuted person calls for the pastor to rub oil into their wounds and to pray for them. Now hang on with me a minute. I believe we see that in the story of the Good Samaritan. He found him. What did he do? He bound up his wounds and he took him and left him. So I believe this is what it's saying here. They rub the oil in the wounds and pray for them. It most likely in this text is spoken of as referring to medicine. Olive oil that was mixed with medicinal herbs and was applied to the wounds. The oil was not a dab on the forehead as we practice. And just hang with me a minute. I'm going to tell you something. But it was used as a medicine to bring comfort to the wounded. I believe as I read this and understand it, I believe this is exactly what it's saying. And then when they prayed, this person was so tired, so persecuted, so weary, their faith was almost gone. So it was the faith of the elders through the power of God that delivered the sick in their sickness. A different word for sick is found in verse 14. It refers to those who are faithless and weary from their toils. So this is not a blanket promise here. A lot of people, I read this as I was getting this ready. I was reading about a church, and every Sunday morning, the pastor would say, okay, everybody wants to be anointed with oil. Come and we'll anoint you and pray for you. Now again, just hear me out, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. First thing I want you to understand is I don't believe that is biblical, and I'll tell you why I don't believe it's biblical. I'm not saying praying and anointing, because we do that, and I'll continue to do that. And it's the prayer of the faith of those that are praying. But yet I want you to see that this is not a blanket promise for all those who are anointing. If you pray, and they pray, that you're going to be healed. It kind of gives you a false sense of security. But the Bible said in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him as one spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, if there was a blanket promise that God would heal everybody, then would it require any faith? Think about it. If God just healed everybody, that we're anointed with oil, and we confronted the major problem, then would it require any faith? By the way, sometimes people have asked me this. They said, preacher, why don't you call somebody up and pray for them? And I'm not saying that we haven't, but the majority of the time, what does it say? Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders. In other words, again, it's playing back to the fact of his faith. And it's not that his faith he's given up on God, but it's his faith has become weak and he needs the faith of those pastors and those elders to pray for God to heal him. The guy was talking about that did it at every service. One time, a fellow come forward and he said, I want to be anointed for my friend who's having trouble. Listen, that's as unbiblical as you can get. You don't get anointed for somebody else. A person comes and he asks and he says, Could you anoint me? And before I go any further, let me clarify things, okay? I know what I'm telling you that I believe this believes, that what this passage says. But I still believe today in the prayer of faith. And I tell you, and I've told people before, when I anoint somebody with oil, we get together, we put a little dab on the forehead, and we pray for them. There's no power, and I tell them this, there's no power in that oil. The power rests in our faith in a God in heaven that's able to deliver them if he so chooses. And yet today, I have no problem doing that. And I tell you, if somebody, and from time to time we do have people, and there's some of you sitting here that we have anointed and prayed for. And I'll continue to do that to this day. I have no qualms with that at all. But I believe this was a different situation here, what he was talking about. Yeah, they were coming together, they were tired, they were weary. And yet, it was a prayer of faith. The main thrust of the passage speaks to the weak in faith. And James tells them to take their medicine and pray. Friend, there's nothing wrong with taking medicine. I tell you, I shiver sometimes when I hear people that have little children that are sick and they won't take them to the doctor because they're going to trust God. I'm going to tell you something. God gave us doctors, for which I'm grateful. And I believe God can work through doctors to heal us, even as He can through faith. This is good advice for saints living today. When we're sick, we're to call on God by faith and look to Him for healing our bodies. There's no doubt about it. But even in our prayer, we're to avail ourselves of the resources that He's provided in healing. He's blessed us with doctors and medicine. I'm one, to be honest with you, I don't like to go, and I used to put off going, but I tell you, I don't hesitate to go to the doctor if I feel like I've got a need. And I would encourage you, as much as I love God and as much as I believe we can trust God, God give us people down here that we can use the resources that they have. We ought to pray for our doctors, and we ought to pray for God to heal through our doctors. Having said all that, healing and anointing, I want you to know today that God still answers the prayer of faith. Please notice the demands the Bible makes on the person who needs healing. Here's the demands. First, as I've already said, He demands they call for the elders to come anoint Him with oil and pray over Him. This is a process initiated by the sick person, not by the elders. Neither should this be done by proxy, by somebody else, of anointing one person for another. I'd never participate in that. Second of all, before a person can call on the elders, the sick person must confess all known sin. There's no sense in us praying the prayer of faith, because the Bible said if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. The good news is, you can ask God to forgive you, and He will. But sin will hinder the Lord's healing work if there's sin in our life. But if our sins are confessed, He will forgive them. He says that in verse 15. And if you've committed sins, they shall be forgiven you. And then thirdly, the calling of the elders and the confession of the sin imply the leadership of the Holy Spirit asking for this ministry. Nobody should ever get to the point and say, well, I've tried everything else, I guess we'll try that. You might as well not try it, because that's not the whole object of it. If the Lord's leading a person to ask for anointing in prayer, then and only then should they ask the ministry to do that for them. Otherwise, it'll not work. I want to make a final statement about healing. There's healers on television today, and I tell you, they talk about healing, but I'm going to tell you, there's nobody in this world today that has the power to heal apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only one. And I'm going to tell you, thank God, I hope that my prayers are worth something. And occasionally when I pray, I see God answer prayer. And boy, I rejoice when He does. But I never let it go to my head to think I did anything, because I have absolutely no power to heal anybody. But God has all the power. And when we pray in faith, believing. God can still heal today, by the way. He heals people as He pleases. Sometimes He receives glory by healing the sick. Sometimes He receives glory by allowing a person to linger and even die. So we should pray for the sick. We should trust the matter to the will of the Lord. By the way, that's the key. We pray, Lord, Thy will be done. He may heal or He may not, but whatever He does, it's always right. God has given us a powerful resource in prayer. We should exercise that gift that is given for His glory. The only way to exercise it to Him as His glory is by praying the way He intended for us to pray. Let him that is afflicted pray. Let him that's happy pray. Let him that pray when he's sick. God's prayers will answer as He pleases. I pretty much preached this morning to save people. But there's another prayer. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's never been a time, and by the way, you'll know whether you have or not. There ought to be a time in every one of our lives when we confess our sin and ask God to forgive us of our sin and to come into our heart and save our soul. And friend, when we do that, God will do what He said He would do. He will save our soul and give us eternal life forever. What you need to know this morning is Jesus died for you. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Now he just needs you to call on him in prayer. He'll forgive your sins. He'll change your life. And oh, today, if you need to be saved, he'll save you if you put your faith and trust in him. Why let such a powerful resource go to waste? Again, the illustration. If I told you somebody would pay off all your debt, if you run down to the bank, y'all would probably be lined up down there first thing in the morning. But I've told you the answer to the problem today. Doesn't mean it's going to always be smooth sailing. Doesn't mean it's going to always work out late. We won't. But friend, in God's will and with God's care, it'll always be right.